Glad to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow on this program, it's Wednesday. That must mean politics. In fact, it does. Chris Larimer of the University of Northern Iowa will be with us, along with Dennis Goldford of Drake University. We'll recap the highlights of the Iowa legislative session as it winds up here in the next few days. Also, of course, 8 months away from the Iowa caucuses, we'll catch up on developments in the 2016 presidential race tomorrow on Politics Wednesday. Iowa ranks 32 in the nation for state spending on preschool. That's according to the National Institute for Early Education. In this part of the program, we want to talk about why that matters, also about efforts to improve early childhood education, and more broadly, about how many children in our country, in our state, are living in poverty here in one of the most prosperous nations in the world. Joining us to do that, Mark Shriver, Senior Vice President of Save the Children's U.S. Programs. Mark Shriver just landed in Des Moines and I believe went right from the airport to our studio in Des Moines. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Thanks for having me on, Ben. Good afternoon.
For those who are not familiar with Save the Children, it's an international non-governmental organization that promotes children's rights, provides relief, and helps support children in developing countries and obviously also here in the United States. Mark is in Iowa as part of the Iowa Community Actions Association's Committed to Excellence Conference, and that is tomorrow, right, Mark, that you'll be speaking?
That's correct, yes, Ben. And actually, I run an organization called Save the Children Action Network, which was created by Save the Children about 2 years ago to try to mobilize people all across America, including obviously here in Iowa, to get engaged in the issues that are affecting our youngest kids. And that is early childhood education here in America. And then internationally, the fact that over 5 million kids die every day or every year, excuse me, before their sixth birthday. That's 18,000 kids every day and over 800 moms dying every day. So we're trying to get Americans to care about these two issues, to get involved in the political process and to demand more support for both of those issues, one that affects children in this country, one that affects children all around the world. On a regular basis.
Focus in on what's happening here in Iowa that you see, that your organization, your Save the Children Action Network, sees in the Midwest, in Iowa. What are the top problems that you're concerning yourself with here that you want to communicate to the Iowans you meet with?
Well, I think you talked about the fact that Iowa ranks 32nd as far as spending on early childhood development. When you look around the country and you see that almost 90% of brain growth happens in the first 5 years of life, yet public investment is almost flat until a kid is 5 years of age. You show that to any businessman or businesswoman, Ben, and they see just the graph of brain growth, huge up 90%, public investment almost flat until the age of five, and you see that's a huge lost opportunity. So when kids are at the age of four, that are living in poverty and they're 18 months behind my kid because they're not my children aren't living in poverty. You have this huge gap that we spend billions of dollars trying to remediate and oftentimes don't close that gap. So you see this huge opportunity cost going on for kids and for families and really for our country because these kids are not entering kindergarten ready to learn. They're not succeeding in first, second, and third grade. These are the kids that are going to fail out of high school. They're going to be a drain on our public coffers. So it's a great business chance to invest more money to get a stronger ROI. And I think people in Iowa know about that. There's some momentum to increase public spending in that area, but not enough.
I guess some would say or probably do argue that spending doesn't necessarily equate one-to-one with excellence in schooling.
Well, you're absolutely right. So when we talk about early childhood education, we talk about high-quality, results-based programs that have proven to be effective. And I'm not the one, saying that. The leading economic person in this issue is a guy out of the University of Chicago, James Heckman, who's won the Nobel Prize in Economics. He talks about the ROI, the return on investment of $7 for every dollar invested in high-quality results-driven early childhood education. And you see, people that have money spend a lot of time making sure that our children are going to the best high-quality early childhood programs so that they enter kindergarten ready to learn. But for poor kids, in this country, those options aren't there. And in Iowa, those options aren't there for enough kids at either 3 or 4 years of age, much less in those first 3 years of life when there is so much brain growth happening. Mm-hmm. It's really, I think, the biggest social justice question in our country. It's outrageous that we don't provide opportunities for poor kids and their families so that they enter kindergarten ready to learn, and then we wonder why they're not succeeding in elementary school and in high school.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the problem is here in Iowa? Is it lack of awareness, lack of political will?
Well, you know, Save the Children Action Network, which I run, which has been around for about 2 years. We were involved in 4 races here in the last election, 4 senatorial races. We think that there's a lot of momentum in Iowa on early childhood education, but there's still a block of folks that don't want to invest, don't see this as the role of government investing in this area. And we're hopeful that if they look across the country, they'll see leadership in the most unusual places. I was in South Carolina about 3 weeks ago, and that state legislature has invested more money despite tough economic times in the last 2 legislative sessions. Oklahoma, which is not a blue state or a purple state, making strong investments in early childhood education. Alabama. I was in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago, Ben, talking with Governor Bush running for president. And he talked about the increased investment that they've made in Florida to number 2 in the country as far as access to early childhood education. The quality in Florida needs to be better, and I think the governor will admit that. But they're at least increasing the access. Now they need to do a better job on the quality. And I think that's what we need to do here in Iowa, and that's what Save the Children Action Network is trying to do, build an army, small army of people that will put pressure on our political leaders both in the state capitol and in the state legislature, in their state districts, to really make these investments.
Mm-hmm. When you look at those who are not entirely on board or, in fact, opposed to what you're asking for, it sounds like is that, you said, role of government. Is that the primary argument that you face, that this is not the role of government to invest in education?
Well, that's one of the issues, and particularly on the first 5 years of life. But it's something new. I mean, you know, Head Start's been around for 50 years. There's been obviously high-quality private child care, early childhood education across the country for a number of years. So it's something new. And look, I know Iowa, we're in the midst of and just coming out of a tough discussion about investing in K-12. And I know that there are scarce resources here. So do we want to invest some of those monies in the first 5 years of life? I think that's a tough question. But Save the Children Action Network, we've proposed other ways to enhance or to raise revenue. And we're working with Senator Hatch on the federal level, Senator Grassley on the federal level, to come up with new ways to fund this important initiative. You know, too often people say, well, it's not the role of government, or there aren't enough resources in the first 5 years of life. We can't afford it. But the bottom line is, if we don't invest in those crucial first 5 years of life, we're going to end up spending on it on the back end, and we just do it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it also the case that, you know, the adults of these children didn't have that early childhood education, a lot of them, so they say, well, if it was good enough for me, why isn't it good enough for my son or daughter?
You hear that. I mean, Save the Children runs home visiting programs, and I've been in dozens of homes across this country, from the West Coast to the East Coast to the Deep South to the Midwest. And you know, parents want what's best for their kids. And some parents can't read that well. And we tell them, look, just say words, do nursery rhymes to kids, play, you know, put the round thing in the round hole and the square one in the square hole. That develops fine motor skills. And you are working on the social and emotional and cognitive development of kids, trying to get them ready. And in many cases, to enter kindergarten ready to learn. And in many cases, Ben, what we hear is that parents just don't know how important it is to read, mm-hmm. how important it is to do nursery rhymes, how important it is for their kids to see, to hear words, and to turn the pages of books and to start having their neurons developed, those synapses in their brains developed. So it's basic things to get kids ready for school that we should, as a country, be investing in. I mean, if you look around the world, China and India are investing heavily in early childhood education because they've seen the brain scans that show brain development in the first 5 years. They've seen that the results have an impact over the course of a child's education. And China is investing heavily in this area, and they're going to clean our clock. And they're going to clean Iowa's clock unless we make a stronger investment in early childhood education.
Okay, so how are you motivating? What is your plan for investing in Iowa's children in the way you describe for creating a political will if there isn't sufficient will right now?
Well, Save the Children Action Network is a new operation. I mean, you know, what we want to be, people tell me I'm crazy to say this, is we want to be the NRA for kids. We want to have some political influence in the political system to try to make a stronger investment for kids. There was a Senate bill, SF-473, introduced by Senators Korbach, Ben, and Dvorsky, that talked about putting $18 million into early childhood education to incentivize or to create preschool programs for four-year-olds by establishing a preschool program expansion incentives here in Iowa. The bill didn't go anywhere. It had support in the Senate. We didn't understand that it would pass in the House, so it never came up for a vote. So there is legislation out there that needs to be discussed, that needs to be discussed next session, and we need to do a better job mobilizing people across Iowa for that piece of legislation. There was another bill, SSB-1199, which is Senator Mathis' bill, which would set up a study to look at creative ways to fund early childhood education or general uses. And that was a thing called social impact bonds, which are bonds that would pay back providers that actually deliver high-quality services. So there's actually bills out there that would increase preschool programs, and then there are bills out there that need to be discussed about ways to creatively fund it. Mm-hmm. And that's happening on the federal level as well with, as I mentioned, Senator Grassley.
We have extreme partisanship in this country, also some partisanship here in the state, of course, as well. How do you bridge that gap when the two major parties see the role of government and the role of government in education and early childhood education differently? Where is the middle ground? How do you create that middle ground?
Well, you know, Ben, Save the Children Action Network is bipartisan. We worked in the last election cycle on both for Democrats and Republicans. And you really get a sense, I get a sense as I travel across this country, South Carolina, Iowa, New Hampshire, California, that people that aren't in Washington really do want to do this. And you see a lot of leadership from Republican governors, Snyder in Michigan, down in Tennessee, Haslam. In Oklahoma, you see, and in South Carolina, you see support from Republicans. The legislature is heavily Republican in that state. And people understand that it is a good investment. It does have a strong ROI. And this is a way to really build bipartisan support for it. We just need a couple of leaders to stand up and to try to push it forward here in Iowa. And we need Iowans to get involved. I mean, you know, democracy is a contact sport, and we need people, you know, not like me from Washington, D.C., but we need real Iowans to get involved, to push it here on a state level and to push it on a federal level as well.
Mm-hmm. And Iowa is just 8 months away from the Iowa caucuses, the first in the nation test for presidential candidates. We have many candidates for president, a bounty of them this election cycle, many declared, I think eight declared so far, and perhaps as many yet to declare, visiting Iowa every week. So you're saying when Iowans should get involved, that means where the opportunity arises to make sure these candidates hear what?
To hear that of the importance of early childhood education. And as I said, we were up in New Hampshire just a couple weeks ago talking to Governor Bush about it. We work on it. Save the Children Action Network sponsors a television show up there at the ABC affiliate town hall meeting, and we are asking questions about it. We're going to work here in Iowa conducting a robust public education campaign targeting Woodbury County and Dallas County, Polk County, Story County, and Linn County. So we're going to try to make sure that folks understand the importance of early childhood education and to hold our policymakers on the state and federal and presidential level accountable for that.
Are you hearing any of the candidates talk about this issue? Do any names pop out? Who's talking about it?
Absolutely. I mean, Bernie Sanders is talking about it. Hillary Clinton has been talking about it. Jeb Bush is talking about it. As I said, in Florida, it's a state with the second highest percentage of access to pre-K programs for four-year-olds under Governor Jeb Bush. The quality needs to be better. You know, Governor Jindal of Louisiana recorded a show, I think just last night or yesterday. It's not public yet, but he's talking about it. And Lindsey Graham is talking about the importance of early childhood education. Carly Fiorina. So it has broad bipartisan support. It's going to be a question of funding, finding the funding mechanism.
Right, right. Our budgets, our state budgets around the country and the federal budget, certainly in a sorry state. So Where do you find the funding, if not in the government?
Well, we've got Save the Children Action Network has created a white paper that has a series of ideas out there from social impact bonds, which are controversial, but we think are a good revenue stream for early childhood education. You have the concept of higher ed and early childhood education parity. So should we be giving tax benefits for higher ed? Should we not be giving that for early childhood education? Mm-hmm. Should we be expanding the tax credits and deductions that are available out there? Now, those things cost money. Social impact bonds is a different way to try to raise revenue, and it doesn't come from the taxpayers. But we need to have a healthy, good discussion about that, and that's what SSB 1199, Senator Mathis' bill, would have done. It would have set up a study group to come back with recommendations. Unfortunately, it didn't pass. Mm-hmm. It should have passed, and hopefully we'll do it next year. But Iowa needs to get creative, or else we're, as I said, going to not only fall behind in this state, but we're going to fall behind to our competitors in Europe and in China in particular.
5 minutes left with Mark Shriver. He runs Save the Children Action Network. When we think about early childhood education, those perhaps who don't have small children or grandchildren might not think it affects them too much. Are there areas of society that you can see a one-to-one tie or somehow repercussions here without that early childhood education that we might not think of? Crime, for instance?
Well, you know, there's a clear connection between kids that don't do well in school, that then end up dropping out, commit crimes, get pregnant, experiment with drugs and alcohol. I mean, that's where Professor Heckman, the Nobel Prize-winning professor from the University of Chicago, who has done a longitudinal study of this, believes that for every dollar invested in early childhood, you have a $7 savings as an ROI. You know, there are other groups out there that have done assessments of this. And you know, you can also talk to the military leaders. You know, a couple of weeks ago at that town hall meeting with Governor Bush, as a result of that, there was an op-ed written by a sheriff who's actually a very conservative Republican in New Hampshire, wrote an op-ed in one of the New Hampshire papers published last Sunday talking about the importance of early education, that he knows that the dropout rates in third grade or the kids that aren't reading at grade level at third grade are the number of prison jails or prison cells that need to be built in the future. So there's a clear connection between reading skills at the end of third grade and crime rates in the future. And those kids that aren't reading at grade level at the end of third grade are the kids that are struggling entering kindergarten. And it just talks, it speaks to the fact that we should be investing early, and we're not. Mm-hmm. And it is a real social justice outrage.
Is it primarily a problem of awareness, of ignorance to this? And once people become more aware, less ignorant, they'll vote a certain way?
I think, you know, I mean, I hate to be cynical about it, and I come from a family. I was in the state legislature in Maryland for 8 years, and I come from a family that's been involved in politics for a number of years. But I think, you know, most politicians are not leaders. They follow what citizens tell them to do. And I don't think that when, you know, poor people in particular don't vote, they don't give political campaign contributions, poor kids don't vote, and they don't give contributions. So it's not like anybody's, you know, the squeaky wheel gets greased. And I think that too often poor families don't have the means to raise this issue. So I think most politicians don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. We pay attention more broadly to poverty in this country, because that is another prong that you're looking at. When we consider poverty in this country, many people don't consider us a country that has a poverty problem.
Well, that goes against the American dream of, you know, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and, you know, work hard and achieve. And the bottom line is poor little kids, they don't even have boots to pull themselves up with. I mean, there are a lot of families in this country and in Iowa that are struggling to put food on the table, that are struggling to pay their heating bills, that are struggling to make ends meet. And we do believe in this country, and I believe firmly, that if kids are well educated, they can realize whatever their dreams are. Whether it is to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a car mechanic. But if you don't have that early education, if you don't have the ability to read, the ability to compute, math skills, you're not going to come into kindergarten ready to learn, and you're going to fall behind, and it's going to cost Iowa. It's going to cost people listening to this millions and millions of dollars in remediation. Mm-hmm. It's just boneheaded not to invest early, frankly.
Mark Shriver, we have a couple minutes here. I want to ask you personally, well, how did you become so passionate about this particular issue?
I was in the state legislature, Ben, in Maryland, and I went down and looked at what was happening in North Carolina, Governor Hunt was doing great things, and I tried to replicate it in Maryland. And, you know, the first day when I was chair of a committee and we brought in the state superintendent of education, the head of social services, the head of juvenile justice, and asked them whether the state of Maryland was investing dollars smartly, nobody knew the answer because we didn't even know whether kids were coming into kindergarten ready to learn. So we set up a system to figure that out. And I remember on that panel, we had a kindergarten teacher. And she said, look, I can tell you the kids are going to fail out of high school within the first week of kindergarten because they don't know how to hold a book. They don't know what the vowels are. They don't know what the alphabet looks like. And I said, you can tell by the age of 5 the kids they're going to fail? And they said, absolutely, because parents aren't getting these kids prepared. And I said, that's outrageous that we know what kids aren't going to do well and we don't do anything to address it. So I don't know. I've been, you know, a little fired up on the issue for a while. I just think it's – and you talk to business folks, and it's really been a lot of this stuff, a lot of the investment in early childhood education with Republican governors leading the way in many states is because the business community is pushing it. And folks that aren't normal advocates are engaged. And that's what we need to do a better job of here in Iowa is to get people from all walks of life engaged. And that's what Save the Children Action Network is trying to do.
Mark Shriver, we've run out of time. Thank you very much. Mark runs the Save the Children Action Network. Thanks for diving into our studio after coming in at the Des Moines airport. We appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks so much for having me, Ben. Have a great afternoon.
You too. And tomorrow on this program, Politics Day, Dennis Goldford of Drake University, Chris Larimer of the University of Northern Iowa will recap the highlights from the Iowa legislature, what got done, what didn't get done. Also, of course, the next chapter in the latest developments of the 2016 presidential race. We hope you'll join us tomorrow on River to River over the noon hour. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. John Pemble helped us out in Des Moines today. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.